This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, yo!
All right, let's do it. This is the last 53 minutes I got on the fan tonight. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow late. And then we got a Friday 5-hour KM to AM and a little Sunday sauce bonus. Sunday I'll be on at 3:30. So stay tuned for all of that. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to get on the line. Here we go. Open mic time. And as I was talking before about last year being over, and, you know, in my notes I have the quote, you know, Derek Jeter, the captain, said the worst phrase in professional sports to me is get him next year. And he said that because he believes that 12 months is a long time and that you don't get many next years. It is hard to get back to the World Series. It is hard to get back to the World Series and win it. Now, some people are just Yankee haters, understandably so. You know, the Yankees run, multiple runs, the Yankees being the Yankees, Yankee fans. Like, they make people hate on the Yankees. But I came across an article today, you know, doing my little digging and prep. New York Yankees boldly predicted to miss playoffs after hectic offseason. Was it a hectic offseason? Anyway, I didn't think it was hectic. I liked some of the moves. I like some of the changes. I wouldn't describe it as hectic. But, you know, the dramatization of Juan Soto going to the highest bidder is going to always fall on the Yankees, whatever. So it was Will Leach of MLB.com predicted that the Yankees will miss the playoffs. The quote that he hit everybody with says, "That's the sort of sentence you type and then feel like you should duck afterward. But it's not that crazy of a notion. First of all, it's possible that every other team in this division will be improved from 2024. The Red Sox may have had one of the best offseasons in the sport. The Orioles youngsters, the Blue Jays are all in for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s final season of club control. And the Rays have Shane McClanahan back and all sorts of young talent emerging as usual." He goes on to note that there are question marks in the lineup with Giancarlo Stanton and DJ LeMahieu already being out. If Judge were to miss any time at all, the lineup would resemble one struggling to make the wild card and, you know, goes back to the vibes of 2023 and not so much of one contending for a World Series. It's still an unlikely doomsday scenario, but you know, there's a lot of people rooting for doomsday for the Yankees every single day. 888-808-1019. Val is in the Bronx, back on the fan.
Kiss, what's good, K? What's going on?
You know, bringing it home.
That's all right. You're doing it as you always do, son. Killing it. And for the haters out there who talking about what could happen, you know what? That's all right. They're going to hate on us all times. You know what I mean? We fight with that all the time. We used to it.
Yep.
It's okay. It's all good. Well, a couple of things I wanted to say real quickly about the Yankees and the Knicks. But before I get to that, that Jet stuff you're talking about, you know me how I feel, bro. The more I hear about this kid, the more I hear from the kid, the more I see. You had a caller earlier talk about some attributes of his as far as, you know, playing in cold weather and things of that nature, some of the stuff that he saw. I saw a lot of the same things, too. I really am hoping that whether it's they trade up for him or he falls to us, I'm really hoping it's Shador. For my Jets.
I think it'd be cool. I think he'd be ready for it. It'd be a flip because everybody's pointing Giants. If he actually comes to New York and he's the Jets quarterback, he might be able to beat Tyrod out. Who knows?
And even for those who were saying that the kid's a little bit too brash, for a guy like me watching my team and everybody talking about the culture change that we need, and you hear in the comments from, like, even that dude, the future Hall of Famer, who was talking about what it would be to take the Jets shot, that kind of attitude that Shador was talking when he did speak in the combine, not for nothing, that's the kind of attitude I need from somebody who's coming here. You know what I'm saying? Cause you know what I mean? But I'm going to leave that alone. You had some great guests on tonight. The guy that came out, Eric Boland with the Yankees. Yo, I'm not trying to rush anybody along. And I'm not trying to overhype what happens in the spring. But I'm just getting a good feel for a lot of the young talent that we started seeing. In a weird way, I think we spoke about it before. And it sounded kind of odd to say it. But I kept saying, like, you know, Stanton going down might be a little bit of a blessing in disguise only because it's given a lot of these young kids some time to kind of like show themselves. And like it or not, I feel like a lot of them are really forcing the conversation, whether it's right now, whether it's some point in the future, but they're showing you what they got. And I think that alludes to a lot of what Hal was talking about the last time he spoke to the media when he was saying about the, you know, trusting the front office, trusting his management team to develop these young guys, because you got to have a certain amount of those dudes on your roster and actually producing a performance. So I'm actually pleased with what I'm seeing from them. I'm hoping that they just keep pressing the issue and keep applying pressure and hopefully force that conversation to be a little bit more of a conversation. Like I said, whether it's right now or it's in the future, let that rock. And the last point I'm going to give you with my Knicks, you know, and I agree with you, but I think this is one of them things where, you know, my favorite word with nuance. Everybody keeps talking about the lack of toughness with my Knicks defensively. And I have some issues with that because, you know, a lot of what I keep saying it, a lot of what the deficiencies that I'm seeing between Anunoby and Bridges sometimes defensively, as much as I want to see more from them, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because some of that is happening because they're being asked to do so much with all the extra rotations that they have to account for because of what I think it was Christian was the gentleman that you had on.
Yeah, Christian Winfield.
Yeah, he brought it up too a lot about, you know, some of the height deficiencies as far as, you know, especially down low. And as a result, to try to compensate for that, there's a lot of extra rotations that they're being asked to make and all that stuff like that. And I've been saying it all the time. But the one thing I will say, okay, to that point about the toughness, I don't know necessarily that it's toughness. And I hate to always, because, you know, the roster is different and you deal with what you have in front of you. And I hate to always make comparisons to previous times. But the one thing I noticed, and I don't understand why Tibbs is allowing this to happen, and maybe it's something that the players are doing on their own. But I got the feeling last season and the last couple of seasons, when guys came out on the floor, you know, their mindset seemed almost like they hit the floor and it was, not to coin a phrase from Salah, but that all gas, no brakes. Like, they just went hard all the time. And they were, you know, Tibbs had it where, like, until they went into the red, I'm letting them run all out. And then I'd pull somebody in. I do feel, and I don't know if it's them trying to compensate for, you know, what you hear from the minutes police with Thibodeau playing them too many minutes or what have you. But I feel like almost like they're measuring themselves a little bit differently than they did before. You're not getting that all. I'm not questioning their effort. And some of that could be alluded to the same thing that I'm talking about with the extra rotations and the fact that sometimes they're a little bit insecure in their movements. They're not doing them because they just know they have to. They're thinking about it and then trying to do it. But, like, there was a certain level of, like, urgency, a higher level of energy when they went at somebody or they attacked somebody defensively. And sure, that's one of the things that I feel like I'm missing this season. And I don't know how to get it. I don't know if it's, you know, everybody keeps alluding to the chemistry. Maybe that's the part of the chemistry that needs to come where, like, everybody knows exactly what they have to do, when they have to do it. And because they, last year they used to talk about that. It was almost like how they phrase it. It was like guys on a rope, you know, tug of war. And you just, as you pull, the next guy comes up and grabs the next knot. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a question where I should be or what. And maybe that's what's stopping it. But I need to see that back because that is contributing. Even some of the slow starts that you get in front of them in games. And then you see the effort later on when they're trying to come back. I need that all the time. Just run it out. Run it out until the engine's in the red and you see the RPMs going. Then we'll deal with that. But when you're on the floor, give me everything you got, whether it's 9 minutes, 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but
no, that's just look at the game last night. Just look at, you know, how they didn't have an answer. You know, or was it last night? Yeah, last night in the fourth quarter with the Warriors. Like, they couldn't stop them. And it's like, you need more of a, like, slap the floor, that's college, but like a lock-in mentality to get stops in winning time, and they didn't have an answer. It seems like a lot of times at the end of these games, if Brunson isn't able to answer offensively and will them to win, it's like they kind of just like let their guard down, and you know it's wraps. Thanks for the call, Val. That was a lot. 888-808-1019. But, I mean, going back to what you said about the Yankees, you know, we're seeing a lot of young talent. And even with question marks about the Yankees this year, I think what we're getting out of spring training is, yo, they're going to be all right in the future. And not just like all right, they're going to be better than all right. There are some young, talented players that project to be stars. Spencer Jones and George Lombard are not breaking camp with the team, but they're not going to get traded. They're not going to go anywhere. As much as the Yankees have prospect hugged in the past, like in the next few years, we're about to see a team with Volpe, Wells, Dominguez, Luis Gil will be back at some point. Clark Schmidt is homegrown. Obviously, you know, when Lombard is ready, when Spencer Jones is ready, Ben Rice is already here. Like, you're going to start to look around at the Yankees' homegrown path to pinstripes and see they have a team of a lot of players that they drafted and developed. And, like, then they should be able to go out and strike for the free agents that they specifically need and not have to, you know, wheel and deal so many trades or, you know, go and try and land the big fish every single time. I'm not worried about the Yankees. They're going to compete, and they have enough talent to win the American League again and to win the division. I'm just not underestimating opponents and thinking it's going to just be an easy run. And then going back to what you said about Shedeur Sanders, if he comes to New York, he's ready for New York. He's ready for the bright lights. He's prime time son. This is a kid that's been rich, been famous. He's not going to be affected. And, like, maybe Cam Ward is. Maybe Jackson Dart is. We've seen New York eat a lot of athletes alive. We've seen New York crush a lot of guys. I don't think that's going to happen with Shedeur Sanders. I look at him as well in his accuracy. Like, if he's got protection and he's got a lane, he's putting that ball where it needs to be. And, I mean, when you look at Zach Wilson, what was one of the main things with Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers? They couldn't make the throws that were right there. They couldn't complete the simple throws that were 5-yard, 10-yard, 15-yard throws. Accuracy, completion percentage. I think that's something that Shedeur Sanders brings on top of already being rich, already being famous, and not being, you know, wowed by New York and not being overwhelmed by what comes with it. 888-808-1019. Nick is in the Bronx on the fan. Go for it, Nick.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. First time, long time.
Thanks.
I used to call into a Mr. Steve Somers, the Schmooze, on the fan here tonight in New York City all the time.
The best.
So, I mean, I'm a firm believer, and I'll just continue to stand by this, that I think quarterbacks that get drafted high need to sit behind either a veteran quarterback or someone for a few years. You know, it's football. It's not basketball where you could get a top three player and throw him right on the court and expect him to start making plays. It's football.
It depends on the situation because we're seeing both now, right? We're seeing Jaden Daniels play all of the preseason games but then become the starting quarterback captain of the team week one and get him to an NFC championship. We're seeing Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, be handed the job right away, so much so that they move on from Justin Fields to draft him and hand him the job, and it didn't go so great. May sat a little bit.
Jaden Daniels, absolutely, but like you just mentioned another one.
Bo Nix was the starter right away. It was a slow start, but ultimately they're a playoff team. It is all about the head coach and the team around these guys. A lot of these guys get drafted into the wrong situation and thrown in right away, like
Bryce Young. Like, he, you know.
So that's the point. That brings up my question now with the Giants. Now, I'm a 75-year-old guy living in a 33-year-old body. Do the Giants, I mean, do either of these quarterbacks, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, really pop to you? Where maybe the Giants at three, I mean, they got it. The defense is okay. There's some weapons there. There's some hope from the kid, the running back, Tracy. You obviously have a superstar in Malik Nabers. I know you need someone to throw him the ball, but do you buckle down and just take some pass protection, start to build the old line? Maybe you sign a veteran call. I think Jameis Winston is still a free agent. I'm not saying he's the answer by any means, but do you? I'm just, maybe I'm just I'm traumatized from Daniel Jones. I just don't want to see this. It's almost like with the Giants. It's the same cycle repeated every 3, 4, 5 years. Do you buckle down and maybe take an O-lineman?
No.
And start to put the bottom up?
No.
Take a risk with two fellas.
Thanks for the call, Nick. No. This regime needs to draft their quarterback. They've already drafted Evan Neal. They've already drafted John Michael Schmitz. You know? Like, they need to use this time. You don't want to be picking in the top 10. You don't want to be picking in the top 5. And if you're there, get a difference maker. Get a franchise changer. There aren't many offensive linemen that you can take that change the franchise. Not right away. You know, they can be good players. Zach Martin hung it up today. Zach Martin is a great player. Father Time is undefeated. Zach Martin came into a ready-made situation with a ready-made team. There's some ridiculous numbers and stats around Zach Martin, like never getting a holding penalty and like, not never, but like, you know, he was a monster at his position. It was time, right? They had to stop Jerry Jones from drafting the quarterback then, Johnny Manziel. Jerry Jones wanted Manziel. Instead, they said, no, take Zach Martin. He's a lock. He's a lock. He's a lock. And he was a great player, but he's hanging it up at 34. You know, I saw Sam Hubbard retiring today. Sam Hubbard from the Cincinnati Bengals, captain, he gets released and then he hangs it up. I saw Hunter Renfro, not from baseball, Hunter Renfro from Clemson, played with the Raiders. I think he retired, but then I saw something on that actually made me want to go back earlier. He shaded the retirement rumor. It came out that he retired and then he came out on Twitter. And he said, just when I thought about making a comeback, I get hit with this bombshell. Guess I shouldn't have started working out again 2 months ago. So maybe he's not going to retire, but maybe he should. I think he should call up the New England Patriots and try to be their next Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type. Who else retired today? There's someone else. Let me go back to my... New York Giants legend, number 21, Mason Crosby. Calling it a career. He's done. The new league year is upon us. And there are guys that are hanging it up, guys that are taking pay cuts. Like I saw CeeDee Lamb adjusted his contract that he just got because he's like, hey, I want to win and it's not going to take only me. DK Metcalf's name is being floated around a lot because he's going to seek a trade partner. They're saying that the Chargers are going to be in on him. They're saying that the Chargers might be in on Devontae Adams. The NFL is not for long. And, there's a ton of more NFL news. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit you guys with some more NFL news before I get out of here tonight. Joey Bosa released from the Chargers. I know Bosa's mom was lobbying for him to get picked up by the Niners so he could play with his brother. Tyler Lockett got released from the Seattle Seahawks, and Jackson Smith and Jigba is like, hey, what's going on? There's a lot of movement. The Bears are making moves. The Bears are shoring up their offensive line under Ben Johnson. They're making trades. They got Joe Tooney. There's another guy that I saw the Bears went after. I'm like, look at the Bears being proactive, getting this offensive line right in front of Caleb Williams. Yeah, a lot more NFL news that I haven't really got to that I'll unpack as we continue on. 888-808-1019. The biggest news of the day in New York sports. Jose Iglesias, Candelita, he held out. He had lunch with John Heyman. He lobbied. He tried. He tried to get the attention of David Stern, Steve Cohen, and the New York Mets to bring him back for a second act, and they passed. They said, we're good. We don't think he can do it again. and we got Juan Soto right now. We don't need any more gimmicks. We're good. Jose Iglesias signs with the San Diego Padres. And let me take a call and check this Mets schedule and schedule my appearance at Citi Field, because I think I got to be there for the big screen and the tribute video for Candelita. I got to be there in the building. Actually, we got a break. Let me find out, when do the Padres come to Citi Field for the first time to face the Mets? And you know Candelita will be with the team. You know he's going to be ready to go. I guess it's not for a little while. As I'm clicking through, they go to San Diego before San Diego comes this way. San Diego, wow, September 16th. Yeah, by then he'll definitely be here. September 16th, the return of Candelita, 7:10 p.m. at Citi Field. Stay after the game for a performance from Candelita, OMG Remix featuring Pitbull. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. And we're back. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. Not enough Benjamins to get Diddy out of jail. 888-808-1019. Speaking of the Benjamins, your New York Metropolitans are the top spenders. Again, hey, big spender. The Mets led MLB in spending for the third straight season. Three is the magic number. They're coming in at $333.3 million. $333.3 million in player salaries. So you better buy tickets. You better show up. There's hella promotions, giveaways. You can get a Clay Holmes jersey, $5 Tuesdays, Family Sundays, Firework Night, bobblehead giveaways, you name it. They're doing a whole party on the pavilion with Mookie Wilson. I'm going. I'm telling all my friends that are Mets fans, I'm pulling up. But you won't even notice me when you see me. I won't have a Yankee hat on. I won't be wearing pinstripes. I'm just going to blend in. I don't own any orange and blue. I'm just going to wear neutral colors. I'm just going to get dressed like I'm going somewhere. It's not even a sporting event. And someone's going to say, is that Keith McPherson? I'm going to say, nope. It's Sal Licata. Shout out to Sal. I just saw Sal on SNY in here. The Mets have this Mets House NYC. I actually might go to this. It's a pop-up experience. And you know, the Mets got all these type of things going in their marketing department. I tip my cap to these guys. These guys brought Hawk to a girl in. Now they got a pop-up house in Union Square. Let's see. One Union Square West, open Tuesdays to Sundays, closed Mondays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday. Opening weekend is this weekend, Friday, March 7th. I might have to go from 3 to 5 p.m. Maybe before I come here to do a 5-hour KM to AM. I might have to go. Sunday, March 8th, Sunday, March 9th. Register here to get the latest news, ticket information, special offers, and more. I don't think I'm going to put my name and email address and phone number in, but I might just go. Robbie is in Hoboken on the Fan. Go for it, Robbie.
Keith, what up, my boy? It's been a little bit. It's Mr. Benji Bobby Two Pops from Weehawken, now in Hoboken.
Hoboken.
Apologies for the delay. Yeah,
no
we
joking.
Back, boy.
I feel you.
I want to get your simple hot take. You know, why didn't Stevie, me and my buddy Gay J were talking tonight, why didn't Mr. Stevie Two Pops give Jose Iglesias that contract? What do you think there?
I just said that they led Major League Baseball again in payroll at $333.3 million. What did Iglesias sign for? $3 million? That would have been six. I know it doesn't seem like a lot to a $20 billion man, but when they were done, they were done, and they weren't going past that, not for him. And then also, I think David Stearns is a numbers guy, is a baseball guy. It was cool last year what they had going on with OMG and Iglesias, but there's nothing to quantify that happening again. There's no numbers that they can point to say, okay, yeah, this guy is worth the spend. It was great last year. Yeah, I think they were ready to move on. They don't think that they can capture lightning in a bottle again, and they want this team to create a new identity outside of Candelita and his hit single.
So how significant of a loss do you think this is, like, you know, in terms of defense?
Oh, I don't think it's that significant of a loss at all. I think they plan on having Jeff McNeil at second base and obviously Mark Vientos at third, and then Brett Beatty back in the mob. I think it's more of a loss with the hitting, but, you know, no 2 years are the same. That's my whole tagline today is last year is over. No 2 years are the same. We can't keep going back to him hitting 337 and, you know, him, you know, coming up big and having a hit streak and hustle singles. Like, we just don't know if that's going to happen again this year. And I think they're betting on, again, Juan Soto. You don't have to worry about, you know, if the team's going to hit with Juan Soto in the lineup. Juan Soto's going to produce, and you don't need gimmicks. You don't need a longer lineup. And they have a long lineup without Jose Iglesias.
You think we'll be fine at shortstop?
I mean, I think Lindor, he wants to play every day. I loved his quote, you know, when they asked him about days off, and him saying that MLB does a great job in scheduling off days when they travel, and like he wants to play every game. Okay, I guess you, in theory, you don't have a backup shortstop. But Lindor doesn't need any backup. As long as that back doesn't flare up, the issue that he had at the end of last year, I'm sure they have that under control now. Lindor is your shortstop, and he wants to play every day. And yeah, in theory, you don't have a backup shortstop.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But they could solve that. They could figure that out if they have to.
What do you think is next for Steve?
What do I think is next, like for a move or adding to this team, or?
Yeah. What do you think is next major play?
Nothing. If they didn't go out there and sign,
we're just good.
Quintana, I would have brought in, like Quintana, who showed you that he could. I don't know. Like at the second half of last year, he showed you that he figured it out and he was solid in a postseason. Like I would want to see Quintana pitched before Paul Blackburn and Griffin Canning. I would have spent the money on him over Jose Quintana, who also blocked some of your young guys from getting their opportunity. And then you also have Jeff McNeil on the books already. I don't think they make another move unless, you know, barring injury. I don't think that they make another move. I think that this is the team and they're ready. They've made their, you know, their cuts. They sent some guys down. I think this is the squad. I don't foresee another move with Steve and David Peterson, unless they're not David Peterson, David Stearns, unless they need to. I think this is it.
I'm with that. You think Jose's next song for the Padres will go more viral than the Mets song?
Nah, hell no. That's the thing,
hell
too.
No.
It was just the timing of all of it, man. The Mets getting hot when he came up and him having the song and then the video of them, like they had an off day and they did some type of banquet or something and all the players vibe to it. It was just a special time. It was a special run. You can't recreate those things. I hope he doesn't try. I heard his new slow song. I think I heard Evan and Tiki play it. But I hope he doesn't try to make another, like, pop single for the Padres. It's just like, I don't expect it to work the same. Everything worked for him. He had the best year of his life last year. I hope he succeeds. I hope he does well. But I don't know if it's going to be in tandem with his music career and his baseball career.
I kept all the tags of my OMG apparel, so hopefully Steve lets me return all that.
No, I don't return it. I mean, you can't return it now. It's a keepsake. It's memorabilia. It's a it's something to make you remember the trip to the NLCS. Thanks for the call, Robbie. 888-808-1019. You went on a ride last year. I just saw Big Mac pop up in here, and I know, Big Mac brought this to the table about who had the better season, and it got under people's skin a bit. It ruffled some feathers a little bit, and I saw some Mets fans saying, well, if you think about what the Mets were projected to do and what they ended up doing, they had the better season, which is not true. But, like, as far as the OMG, Grimace, all of those things, you'll remember that season forever. Things have changed now. This is a team now with Juan Soto on it. This is a team that also has a $300 million contract with their shortstop. This is a team that paid big money to bring Pete Alonso back. This is a team with some other players in between. Like, they're expected to be contenders. They're expected to be winners. They're expected to be big brother, some will tell you. So, like, those fun stories of overachieving are done. Those fun stories of, hey, we weren't expecting them to do... No, now you're expecting them to win a World Series. Every year with Juan Soto over the next 15 years is a year that they're supposed to win the World Series. No excuses. 888-808-1019. There is no just make the postseason anymore. Step into the dark side. Come over here to the other side of New York. You can't just make the postseason and say, yeah, that's a good year. No, you got a high payroll. Again, just said, reading that article, $333 million again up there. You got to win. You got to win. You just put out the highest paying contract in history, in sports history. That player is supposed to lead you to the World Series. That you put out that money for a generational player, a once in a lifetime opportunity to get a guy that enters free agency at 26 in his prime, that's already a World Series champion, a batting title champion, has already been to two World Series, who's been an all-star, won the home run derby, all of that. Now you're expected to win. And, like, right away. You're supposed to have a winning record after the first series. 888-808-1019. I did mention the 13 Mets that were sent to minor league camp. And some of the top prospects and names that you've heard. There were 57 players still in big league camp. I saw Tim Healy put out a tweet that I have in my notes. Guys like Brandon Sproat, Blade Tidwell, who had good showings. Guys like Ryan Clifford, Drew Gilbert, Rafael Ortega, Kevin Parada, Jet Williams. These are guys that Mets fans will be hearing a lot from in the next few years. Guys that you traded for and you acquired a couple years back. The baby Mets. If these Mets can't make it happen, these young Mets are expected to come up and win and lower that payroll. 888-808-1019. Last call for calls. This is my last break. I'm going to hit some push-ups. I'm going to talk to the 1,554 people in the live chat, and then I'm going to come back and wrap this thing up. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. We'll be right back after this. Okay. 888-808-1019. If you call now, you might be able to sneak in there. I got a couple calls. Let me get to them. But let me also say thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I think we almost hit 1,600 in the chat. We got 1,567 now. I've been live streaming. For some reason, it doesn't let Instagram. Like, Instagram doesn't let you live stream the whole 5 hours. I don't know. Zuckerberg's got something against that. Maybe his bots or his metaverse. You can do it on Facebook. So I'm streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter all 5 hours. I've been doing that, and I just think it's a good way for people that can't get on the line to react in real time in the chat. And I'm not the best-looking guy, but, you can see me. 888-808-1019. Jeff is down in Louisiana on The Fan. Go for it, Jeff.
Yeah, hi, Keith. I wanted your opinion about Jackson Dart. I've read and heard different opinions about him. I've heard that he could be drafted, I think, by the Steelers with the 11th pick of the first round. And on the other end of the spectrum, I've read, actually, I heard a guest on a host on a different program say something like he stinks. But he had, you know, really good statistics at Ohio State.
Ole Miss.
Eli Manning is in favor. So let me just finish. So what if the Giants can't trade up with the Titans? And let's say, for hypothetically, the quarterbacks go 1-2 in the first two picks. Would it be foolish for the Giants to draft Jackson Dart with the third pick, knowing that you could get Travis Hunter?
Yeah, it would be foolish. I'll let you finish, Jeff. But all I was saying was, you said Ohio State. Jackson Dart didn't play at Ohio State. He played at Ole Miss, and he broke records at Ole Miss. And I was extremely hard on him because I watched that Florida game. I think I might have even had some bread on it. And the interceptions that he threw in that Florida game were egregious. It was like he was throwing a game. It's like he had money on the Gators. but I knew. If you listen to me on The Fan all these nights, I was on the night that he played against Duke, and I told you Duke was down their starting quarterback. I think they were down their starting running back, middle linebacker, because of a bunch of different things, from the transfer portal to guys not playing in a bowl game, whatever. So he played Duke. One, it's Duke. He played a depleted Duke team, and he balled out against them. He put up great numbers. He had one throw that wowed everybody where he was rolling to his left, and he threw it downfield on the run, got them inside the 10 or something like that. I'll say this about Jackson Dart. In a draft where they're telling you the top two quarterbacks wouldn't be drafted higher than J.J. McCarthy was drafted last year, in a draft class where they're saying that these top two quarterbacks aren't that great of prospects, it would be a reach to take Jackson Dart at 3 and leave guys on the board. Like you just mentioned, if Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward come off the board, 1 or 2, 2 or 1, however it goes, if you take Jackson Dart and you pass on an Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, that would be insane. It would literally be insane for a guy that, like, I've been comparing to Will Levis. Played in the SEC, right? Jackson Dart, he's got a hell of a name for a quarterback. But he's just like, you know, the next blonde hair gunslinger like Will Levis, where they're like, this guy's going to be. And, you know, Will Levis was rumored to go in the top of the draft. And then he fell and he sank until the Titans, or pick a number one overall, they've been missing on a few draft picks, they take him. I look at Jackson Dart as a guy that can play in the NFL. I think he's going to need some work. I don't think he's a guy that the Giants should take at 3 overall, maybe at 34 overall if he's there and you don't get a quarterback. But I just think that he's shooting up the charts right now because he's being compared to quarterbacks that they're not even ranking that high. And he had a good bowl game, and he actually did perform at the combine. I just think that, like, this is what happens. He is a product of what happens here. There's not generational quarterbacks in this draft, but all of a sudden now Jackson Dart is better than who? Jalen Milroe, Quinn Ewers. I wouldn't use a number 3 overall pick in this draft. He is not a top 3 player in the draft. He's not top. Like, there's so many better players that you can pick that high that are less of a risk. Josh is in Passaic on The Fan. Go for it, Josh.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
So first off, you know, it's crazy. We got spring outside and yet no Major League Baseball with the season starting. Still trying to put that two together.
Yeah, I mean, it's freezing, it's raining, it's spring, it's not. We got daylight savings time approaching, and yeah, I'm with you. Go on.
So first off, with the Devils, you know, this is brutal with the Hughes injury. And, you know, Mark Stone really, you know, rough comeback last night. I can't believe they sent Nico Dawes down. He played so much better than Jake Allen. I don't care if he's younger. I think the guy earned the right to stay on the team. And it's just not funny to see that.
You got
to
get a Nico Dawes jersey. You love Nico Dawes.
Of course. This guy, he shut down every single team they played. He gave up, I don't think, more than 2 goals once than Jake Allen. I'm sure he's solid, but this guy played much better than him. You know, we're fans of all the Nikos with the Devils. And yes, you have Markstrom as your starter, but why knock down a second guy? It's just things just get in my head, like, come on, what are we doing here? And
whatever it is.
It doesn't matter what we're doing here now. We got to
get it with the news that first I find the check, use it out for the year. Then I got to find out they're sending Nico down to like whatever they call NHL minors.
Jacob Markstrom is back. What does it matter? Jacob Markstrom's got to hold it down, and they're going
because
back
all the
to
games in between. They're only going to play. They're going
to but they're just going back to what they were doing. It was Jacob Markstrom and Jake Allen backing them up. We got bigger fish to fry than Nico Dawes being sent down.
Oh, of course. It was just that was just a little clip, and just the last thing, Keith. Those Soto OMG stuff. Those are gonna be so cringe now. I don't want to see another sign of that. Like, I don't know why people are trying to start that. The player's gone. I understand there's good vibes, but if they moved on, it's time for Mets to move on too, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
But, like, does Candelita Jose Iglesias have a trademark on the OMG where they can't make Soto MG shirts and signs and stuff? I don't know. It's already out there. It's already on the internet. It was already done the first game. So, you know, it's hard to say goodbye to yesterday. It's also time for me to say goodbye. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. Don't trip. I was off last night. I had some stuff to handle. And then I'll do this again Friday. We'll turn up on Friday for sure. I have some more guests. And, yeah, I'll be on tomorrow night. And you know what? You got C-Mac coming up. 5-hour midnight ride. So I keep it locked right here. Keep McPherson on the fan. I'm out of here. But C-Mac is next. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.